I've never given a talk that I didn't need to hear. Because every time I prepare to give a talk, I think about, well, what do I need to talk about? Which leads me to, what do I need to hear? And sometimes I need to hear something that will convict me. Sometimes I need to just be reminded of something. And even if it's just like a 5-minute talk that I do on a Wednesday night, the study alone will help me with whatever it is I'm needing help with at the time. And a lot of times when I get here, I've gone over so many passages, I can't bring them all up. That's not going to work. We'll be here all morning into the afternoon. But like Jesus and the apostles did, I reference passages and trust that y'all will remember them. And remember the context. And I was thinking this time about us being called as individuals to help individuals. And so I think about passages like the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, or bearing one another's burdens in Galatians 6 and verse 2, or to restore one another, Galatians 6 and verse 1, gaining your brother, Matthew 18, looking out for others' interests ahead of your own, Philippians 2, I think, 2 or 3, visiting orphans and widows, James 1, serving one another, Galatians 5, and trust that you remember those passages and the import that they have on our lives. And I was thinking about it because I was thinking about struggles that we have as a congregation, struggles that I have. And there are dangers, and they're not new dangers, but there are dangers of distraction. There are dangers of being busy. There are dangers of prioritizing other things ahead of helping each other. There are dangers of being afraid to put yourself out like that, helping one another or approaching people. And Jesus talked about it. He talked about the person who's like, I just bought some oxen. He talked about the person that I need to go look at my land. He talked about building bigger barns. And he told us to love one another like he loved us. And that's a high bar. That's a real high bar. And you look at how he lived his life and how he prioritized his actions and how he went out on a limb multiple times, how he put himself in precarious situations, both physically but also socially, emotionally, risked things. See, God talking to Paul, telling him not to be afraid to speak. Not something I typically think about with Paul being afraid to speak. But God specifically came to him in Acts 18 to tell him not to be afraid. He wouldn't have done that if there wasn't a reason. And then Paul in turn told Timothy, don't be afraid. We're not called to be timid, but we're called in power and love and self-control. That's hard. I suppose it's harder if you're introverted to approach people in some situations. But in a lot of cases, it's hard regardless. Especially if you're going to confront somebody about something in their life, that can be very uncomfortable. And even if you mentally understand they're in danger, you shouldn't be worried about being uncomfortable. They're in danger. That should out-prioritize, definitely. You still feel it. It's still something you have to overcome. And I've been told things here at Westside, other places too, but I like to focus on Westside because we're talking about challenges we have and things that we need to overcome. And I've been told, someone said they brought a matter to the authorities be it the men's and the men's meeting or the elders, but they brought it to there, and so they had done their part. And they didn't do anything individually to help the person. They brought it to somebody else and considered themselves done with the situation. Another time I was told that they told me they would never confront a married person of the opposite sex. That they would always go to their spouse to bring up anything, whether it was a concern, whether it was a sin, whether it was anything, and then have the spouse approach their spouse rather than going directly to that person. I was told by someone here that these other brothers or sisters are better equipped to handle the situation and that they felt they would get in the way or that they would be ineffective. Now, that's something I've told myself inside my own head too, and perhaps you have too. And I've been told that someone else has already tried and the person isn't receptive. As though that absolves all the rest of us from trying. This is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. You know, talks about prayer. And talks about prayer being something that you can do repetitively. To the point that you're the widow bugging the judge, right? And that's a weird thing to think about yourself as what? Bugging God? Well, that's not what it means. It's talking about the persistence and the effect that that persistence has on people. And in fact, the effect that your own persistence, even if it ends up not affecting in the way you want it to, the effect that your own persistence can have on you. But the persistence has effect on other people too, just like it did on the judge. And there is a difference between two or three people going to someone and 20 or 30 people going to someone. There's a different impact. And these attitudes are not the New Testament example. We, of course, have passages like Matthew 18 that specifically tell us if someone sins against you, go to them, right? You don't have an option to go to someone else and have that someone else act as an advocate as your first line of action. You don't have an option. Matthew 18 clearly tells you, you go to them, right? But all these other things that I've mentioned are also individual actions. They're not things that we get to pawn off on other people. They're not things we even get a choice about. You know, we look at Jesus' example about who he talked to, and he talked to everybody. Sometimes he talked harshly to some people. Sometimes he talked with great compassion. He talked in different ways. He was in that way all things to all men, like Paul would talk about later. But you look at him in John 3 talking to Nicodemus, or in John 4 talking to the woman at the well. Look at Luke 19, Luke 8. The descriptions he gives in like Matthew 25 of how you are to approach people. His example was talk to everyone. Who talks to everyone? Everyone talks to everyone. You talk to everyone. You approach everyone. You concern yourself with everyone. The message to Timothy that Paul gave was, do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to younger men as brothers, to older women as mothers, to younger women as sisters, in all purity. I mean, you think about it like that. Then a lot of the things we say make no sense. They sound so harsh that you're like, well, no, I'm not saying that. If you were in a situation that your mother needed help, and your sibling had already tried to help and your mother had refused, you wouldn't be like, well, they tried. You'd go and you help your mom. If your brother needed help, you wouldn't go to your other brother and tell him and let him handle it, and you not approach your brother. You wouldn't let your father be hungry or naked, or the examples that Jesus uses in Matthew 25. You go and take care of it, no matter who else was around to help or not. No matter who else had failed or not. So like I said, I needed to hear this too. Because I find myself having to talk myself into things, right? To hype myself up to things. I'm not somebody that wants to go out and talk to people. I'm somebody who easily, quite happily, can be alone for very, very extended periods of time. And I've used this example before of Crocodile Dundee, where he's talking to the reporter lady in the first movie, and he's talking about how he was married once, but he doesn't think he's married anymore. He doesn't know, but he doesn't think he's married anymore because he got back home one day and his wife wasn't there and he never seen her again. And it was because he'd gone on a walkabout. And he went out on his walkabout, this kind of aboriginal tour around the countryside to think and center himself. And he came back and she was gone. And the reporter lady asked, well, how long were you gone? He said, oh, about 3 years. I could do that. I could go off for 3 years just to think about something. But we are called to continual action. We are called to be a family. We are called to look on each other no differently than we look on our fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. And sometimes your brothers are cantankerous and you don't want to deal with them. I know my brother's cantankerous. Some of y'all know my brother better than others. He's a cantankerous sort of person. That doesn't mean I can just ignore my obligations to him. No more so than I can ignore my obligations to y'all. And I needed to be reminded of that. And I needed to be pressed into action. So we'll have an invitation at the end of Stan's sermon, because he can't get through a sermon without doing one. I suppose I'll have an abbreviated invitation. Everyone here knows what they need to do. Everyone here knows if they're not doing it. If you need help in that, then come forward while we stand and sing.